Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back out this evening. You know, you turn on the news and they talk about all kinds of medicines we should be taking or trying. This is one of the best medicines there is. It's coming together with brothers and sisters to worship our Heavenly Father. It'll do more to lift our spirits and make us stronger. And it's just sad that so many people in the world are lost and they don't understand the power of God. This evening, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We are going to begin there. And I want us to look at men of little faith. As I mentioned this morning, this is a phrase that's used five times in the book of Matthew. And when we go through a book that we're studying in class, I like to go through and pull out lessons from it also to kind of connect the dots, a bigger picture when we go by verse by verse, and then you just get a different look at things when you look at something throughout the book. Men of little faith. So we're going to look at people that had a problem with their faith. Why should we do that? Somebody told me one time, if you want to be successful, one of the things you need to do is look at those that fail and then do the opposite of what they do. So it's good to look at people that are successful and people that have failed. And this evening we're going to look at men of little faith. Let's start in Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin down at verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God is going to take care of us. When we look at all of the beautiful things that he has created, the grass, the flowers, how beautiful they are, God takes care of them. God is going to take care of us. But what do? So many times we worry. We don't have the faith that we need to have. In verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its trouble thereof. So how are we going to get the things in life that we need? We have to work, but we also must trust in God as well. One of the ways that he provides for us is by us going out and working. When we talk about the providence of God and the clothes, he clothes the lilies with their beauty. And you stop and you think about everything that God has created on this earth, every plant, every shrub, every tree. They have all their different shades, their different hues of color. And they are inferior to man. He cares for those things. How much more is he going to care for man that he has created? Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He will provide the clothes that we need for our service to him. God will care for us. And again, how? Do we just sit down and wait for it to fall out of the sky? No, part of his caring for us is for us to go out and work to take care of ourselves. O ye of little faith, we have a God who can supply us with all things necessary for life. And he has promised to do so. Just think about that. He is able to do so. He has promised to do so. So what should we do? We should put our faith and trust in God. And here in Matthew chapter 6, these people were not doing that. And he calls them, O ye of little faith. We don't expect the Gentiles to trust in God, the heathens, for the material blessings. The people out in the world, and you see them so frantic trying to accumulate things for themselves. We don't expect them to trust in God. But we, as his children, we should expect to trust in God for those things. Again, he knows our needs. He knows our needs before we ever knows them. And in his own way, he will supply them. He's wise enough to know what we need. He's good enough to supply them. And he's powerful enough to supply them. And he has promised to supply them. How much faith do we have? How much faith? Hopefully, as we grow as a Christian, our faith is going to grow, and we will not worry about the things like here in Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8 and look at the next example, Matthew chapter 8, and let's begin at verse 23. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there is a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? While we are here in chapter 10, let's make a contrast and go back to verse 5 of chapter 8. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Notice the contrast he's making. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, he's talking about this centurion and his great faith. All these other examples are going to be of little faith. And here, with his disciples, he talks about their little faith. Is this unfair that he says that they have little faith? Well, you stop and consider, before the Sermon on the Mount, he healed all manner of people, every kind of disease. He healed every one of them. They have seen him work miracles. In chapter 8, in verse 16, he cast out spirits with the word. And now we see that he has control over the natural world with what? With words. And you just stop and think about this. Jesus was in the beginning when the worlds were created. And how were the worlds created? By the words of God. Now just stop and think about this. If Jesus can create the world just by speaking, Jesus can control the world. And what does he say here? What does he say here? He woke up, the Lord save us, we are perishing. Why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. And he arose and rebuked the winds, and there was a great calm. He speaks the word, and the storm is calm. And we see a manifestation, another manifestation of his power. They had seen it manifested over and over, and yet they are afraid when the storm comes up and Jesus in the boat. They did have faith, but their faith was not strong enough. And we have to ask ourselves, is my faith strong enough to face the storms in life? And notice too, there's two rebukes that Jesus gives here. Two rebukes. First, he rebuked his disciples because they should have known better. Jesus wasn't going to let them drown when he was in the boat with them. He rebukes his disciples, and then he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there is a great calm. And again, when did this happen? Was it days later? No, it was immediately. After he spoke the word, there is a great calm that came over the seas. Mark quotes the words of Jesus, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased. The Greek in this indicates that it grew weary, tired, and sank into a restful calm. Another meaning of this Greek word here used by Mark is that he muzzled the sea like muzzling an ox, and it became calm. What effect did that have on the disciples? They marveled. They marveled, and they asked each other, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" You know, this terrific storm had been brought so suddenly to a calm at the command of Jesus, and they were astonished that the wind and sea obeying him. Jesus has power over everything, and we need to put our faith, in that, and not be men of little faith like he calls them out on. And we're going to see, as I mentioned, when we get into chapter 8 and 9, the miracle chapters, Jesus shows his power. He shows that he is the Son of God. He shows he has all authority over all manner of disease, of beings, of nature, over every situation. These people failed because they didn't have enough faith. They're an example for us. We don't want to be like them. We want to be the opposite and put our faith and trust in God. Is that easy? I tell you, the farther along you go through life, the easier I think it is. Because I think all of us can look back in our life and there was something that was going on. How did we get through it? By our faith in God. He carries us through those things, and as he carries us through more and more, it's going to build our faith. Let's look at the third example in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and beginning at verse 29. So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked out on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, Peter was one who had enough faith in Jesus to believe that this could be done. Back in chapter 10, Peter himself had been given the power to work miracles. And Peter had seen all of these miracles again that Jesus had performed. Why did he sink? Why did he have little faith? This brings out another point about having faith. Peter began to sink because he started becoming afraid. What are we to do? The Hebrew writer tells us we are to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. What does Satan want to do to us? He wants us to get our eyes off of Jesus. And when we get our eyes off of Jesus, what's going to happen? We're going to be distracted, we're going to be afraid, and we're going to start and sink. When we fix our eyes elsewhere, we are going to sink, and we can drown in Satan's evil. So when we do that, and again, as we grow in faith, that's going to happen. So is God just going to let us fall and stumble and sink down in sin? No. Just notice with Christ here and with Peter, God has not left us without a lifeline to grab onto. Peter is sinking and he's crying out for salvation. He says, "Save me, Lord." And he recognizes something really important that everybody needs to understand. Jesus is the one that saves us. Jesus is the only one that can save us. And we see another illustration here of a physical event and a spiritual application. In verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" See, fear creates doubt. Doubt leads to failure. And since Jesus could calm the storm, we see the purpose of this account explained down in 32 and 33. "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" Why would Matthew recount the calming of the storm except that it's a demonstration of growing faith? Okay, so the disciples, we read earlier, they were out in the sea in this boat. They thought they were going to drown. They became fearful. "Lord, save us." He just says the word and the sea becomes calm. Wouldn't that build your faith up? It would. And now here, Peter wants to walk when Jesus, this is a different occasion, and when he sees Jesus walking on the water and he wants to come out and he begins to sink. Matthew is trying to get across this faith that grows. It grows. And did Peter fall again? He fell several times after this. But we see too when he says, "Lord, save me," back to the point I was going to make a minute ago, does Jesus say, "No, you had your chance"? No, he gives us another chance. As long as we come to God and say, "Save me," and we do what he tells us, he's going to be there to pull us out of that water when we're drowning. He's going to be there to rescue us. And that should give us faith. But you think about Peter. You think Peter had learned his lesson here and his faith had grown. But we can't point to Peter and say, "Oh, he had little faith," because we have little faith. But we know when we get to Matthew 26, what happens. Peter confesses his unwavering loyalty to Jesus. He confesses it. But then he denies Christ. In both instances, there's this fear. When he's walking on the water, and when he is following Christ right before his crucifixion, he experiences fear. And what does he do when he has that fear? He sinks. He denies. He fails. He denies. Then what happens? Then he has remorse come over him. "I'm sorry. I should have more faith." And then he is restored. He's restored. And that's going to happen to us too. But I think one of the points that is brought out here, our faith should grow. It should grow, and we should be like that centurion where people will say, what great faith Ron has, what great faith Jim has, what great faith David has. We don't want people to look at us and say, oh, you have little faith. We want to be like that centurion that has great faith. And it's interesting, too, in verse 31, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? Jesus, Matthew brings out many times, Jesus will ask a question to get his disciples to think. Does he answer the question? He doesn't answer it. He's asking these questions to get them to think and to get us to think also. You think about everything that God has done for us. He has helped me through everything for the last 62 years. And if I look to tomorrow and say, how am I going to get through tomorrow? You should say, oh, you of little faith. God's there for us, and our faith should grow and be stronger and stronger. We doubt our abilities, and when we do that, doubting can keep us from doing great things for the Lord. So we've looked at the problem of worry. We've looked at the problem with the storms of life. We've looked at Peter, how he doubted. He took his eyes off. He became fearful. Let's look in Matthew 16 at verse 8. Let's back up. Well, we'll read 8 and then I'll summarize some of this. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Back in verse 5, a couple verses before this, the disciples had come to the other side. They came to the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, to the town of Bethsaida. The following conversation occurred in the ship they were sailing, for they only had one loaf of bread with them, according to Mark chapter 8. And they needed more bread. And what were they to do? They could not get more bread when they had landed. So this gave Jesus an opportunity to teach them. And again, when something, an occurrence happens in life, we need to use it as an opportunity to teach someone. He says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And his disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And I think one of the things that he is pointing out to them, they reasoned among themselves instead of trusting in God. And what does he use? He reminds them, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? That little boy with the fish and the loaves, and they fed 5,000 and took up like 12 baskets of leftovers after he fed all those. Don't you remember that? And how is it you do not understand the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? And now you're worried about not having enough bread and you're reasoning among yourselves. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? The disciples were frustrated because they had not planned to take enough bread. The Pharisees forbade their disciples buying bread from the heathens or the Samaritans. So they were stuck. They didn't have enough bread. And Jesus, he knew their minds, he knew their hearts. And what does he say? O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have no bread? And again, here's another question he asked them to get them to think, to get them to think. And here he wasn't referring to the literal bread as they had understood him. He was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. The system of the Pharisees was corrupt, like leaven. And it puffed up in the heart. It spread. The Pharisees and Sadducees had rejected the miracles of Jesus. What did the scribe or the Pharisees and Sadducees say about Jesus working miracles? He said, well, he's doing it, but he's doing it by the power of the devil. He's doing it by Satan. They demanded a sign from heaven. And Jesus tells them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Again, it was a symbol of hypocrisy, vanity, and pride. And Jesus says, O ye of little faith. O you of little faith. Why do you reason among yourselves? You've seen this bread multiplied for thousands before. You're worried about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You need to have more faith. You need, don't reason among yourselves. Trust in God. God is going to take care of this. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 17, and let's begin at verse 18. Matthew 17, 18. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely if I say to you, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So Jesus here, again, he talks about their littleness of faith in verse 20. Their littleness of faith. And he says, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. The great faith was that people who believed Jesus could heal from a great distance, that centurion back in chapter 8. The disciples believed that Jesus was the Christ, and they were growing in faith, but still they could not cure this little boy. So I brought him to your disciple, but they could not cure him. They could not cure him. Why? Because of their littleness of faith. Their faith is not yet where it needs to be. And you here where they're trying to heal this boy, this epileptic, he suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And you stop and think, the disciples had the power to heal. They were not able to heal this boy. And you stop and think about Paul in Acts 16 when he was in Philippi. And there's this servant girl, and she was possessed with a demon. And Paul, he had faith. He cast this demon out of this servant girl. And then her master saw that their means of making money was gone. And they took Paul and Silas and threw them in prison. Again, Matthew doesn't mention that, but for a contrast in great faith and little faith. Why is Jesus talking about, what does this mean about if you have faith, you can move mountains, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible. the power that they have is great. So great that they could move, speak the word and move a mountain from here to there. Is he talking about that literally? I don't think so. I think this is a hyperbole, an exaggeration. What purpose is it going to be to move a mountain from here? One of the disciples say, move a mountain from here, and it moves over there. What purpose is that going to be about? But what are they going to be moving? They are going to be moving the hearts and minds of the people that they are teaching. And they need to have faith. They need to have faith. If they couldn't heal, in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So this demon-possessed boy, they couldn't cast this demon out because their faith wasn't great enough. Why could we not cast it out? Why can't we save people sometimes? Why can't we convert them? How great a faith do we have? What is the level of our faith? It needs to be growing. They had the miracles they could perform back then to confirm the word. We don't need miracles today. We don't need to move a mountain from here to there, but we need to have the word in our minds and hearts so much and believe in the power of God that it can move people. The power is in the gospel. So we have these five examples of little faith. Matthew 6, where he's talking about people worrying about what they're going to eat and drink and what they're going to wear. Matthew 8, out on the storm, the storms of life, where faith is tested. Matthew 14, Peter, little faith. Why? Because he took his eyes off of Christ and he began to sink. Matthew 16, with the loaf. Why was their faith little? Because they had seen Jesus perform miracles with the bread before, but they reasoned among themselves. You know, that's another trap that so many of us fall into. We believe God can do it, but I don't think he can do it this time, so let's help him out. Let's help him out. How can we help God do this? You know, that was the problem. One of the problems that Sarah had, Sarah with Hagar. How can we help God do his plan? They reasoned among themselves. And then this last example in Matthew 17, where they had little faith. If they had just as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, they could move a mountain from here to there. We can do great things for God when we have faith. Friend, is your faith little or is it great? Is your faith growing? How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many people do not have the faith that they need because they do not open their Bible up and stick their head in God's word and learn his word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the more we learn God's word, the greater our faith will be. And what did we learn from our study in Hebrews? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You say, well, I have faith. Well, then the question is your faith alive and active, or is it dead? Faith without works is dead. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Won't you respond to God's word? Won't you respond to God's word tonight? Have faith in God, obey Him this evening, and then let your faith grow to be stronger and stronger. If we can help anybody to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.